In the book of Colossians, I want to pick up with the second chapter, the 16th verse, and go on into the third chapter because they tie together. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility or the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head from the whole body, supported and held together. My rescue ranger. I think it was that great ape suit that got to me. You've lost connection with the head from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, and grows as God calls it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to these rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use and are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such relations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but their self-supported worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack anything of value while restraining sensual indulgence. Lord God, a lot of words you gave us just there to teach us that we have a freedom with you, that we're not bound by earthly things, but by spiritual matters. And those referring back to Jesus Christ. We come here today to worship and give praise. We've sang songs. We've heard the scriptures read. We've shared in love and compassion. We've been around the table of the suffering of Christ. We've shed tears with our brother and sister, Jewett, and the loss of Taylor. But Father, we know that you've got a plan for us, and it's greater than what we worry about. Bless our missionaries, our military, our first responders, bless those who help us in daily life, those who guide us and share with us. May we all one day gather in that great hall of love we call heaven. Be with the speaker, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. He is writing to a group of non-Hebrews. They were not Jews. And they came with a variety of ideas. Now, I love our second Sunday, which will be third Sunday this month, but our second Sunday dinners. Some of you bring your favorite Michigan food, gander stew. And some of you bring your favorite Indiana food, circle pie. And some of you bring the best food of all, Spam. You knew that was coming. I don't even apologize anymore. But we all have a variety. And some will drink a diet drink, and some will drink water, and some of you drink coffee, even though it's like 200 degrees outside. But we have a variety. Well, the problem was, in the time of Paul, in the time of Christ, these people who all came to the church, the called out, the ecclesia, who came together, brought their old ideas with them. Some of you grew up like I did in the independent Christian church. And we had our ideas. Some of you come from a wide variety of different denominations. And some of the things we do here may seem just a little bit strange. But the preacher wears a purple shirt. Anything can happen here. You know that. And we try to blend it. But the problem is, we're so involved with the details, we forget the reason. In the time of Paul, a group had got together and said, you must not do this. You must not do that. They were involved in, remember, the Jews did not eat pork. What they missed, I don't know. And the different ideas they came with, they tried to blend them and call them requirements. Paul says, human means are not the ways of requirements. The requirements are what God has already given to us, and we're binding ourselves up way too much. I preached in Griffith, Indiana. You can't get there from here. You got to go past Indianapolis. You got to go right next door to Gary. And there was honestly, I kid you not, there was honestly a time there that the men could not serve at the table unless they had a suit and tie on. And not even a Nehru jacket. No, that was too, that was way too outlandish. Had to be a three-piece suit. And you know what? As we got a little older, the vest didn't fit as well. But they made those man-made rules. And you ask them why they didn't have a reason why. Just that's the way we've always done it. Well, the Bible is not about the way they've always done it. The Bible about it is, what does Christ want us to do? How does God want us to live? And he's given us a fairly simple rule book. Now, it weighs about 3 pounds. It has somewhere between 1,200 and 1,500 pages, depending on how tight your print is. But it's really simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And all the stuff that people were getting tangled up to was totally unnecessary. You may have attended a church in the past that gave you a whole bunch of strange rules. You say, why did you do it that way? I don't know. Must be in the Bible somewhere or we wouldn't do it. Find it for me. I can't. God has not made us to be involved in a bunch of repression that holds us back. He's given us guidelines that are for ourselves. And when we go about making these strange rules and these strange events that have nothing to do with worshiping God, we have punished our relationship because we're saying, God, you're not good enough. I've got to be stricter than you are. I've got to be tougher than you are. I've got to be more litigious. I hate that word because I can't say it. Legalistic. How are you about that one? Than you are. He says in 23, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. Boy, you must be smart because you have all these rules to live by. Your God has really told you what you can and can't do. And that appears to be wise, but it's not. It's man-made rules. And we can just absolutely worry ourselves to death with man-made rules. When I was in junior high, honest to goodness, the principal had been an ex-Green Bay Packer lineman. He was like a huge mountain of a man. Like 6'13", weighing about 3/4 of a ton, or at least it looked like when you're a little short fella. And he walked around with a ruler. He walked around with a ruler and a pair of scissors. That was back. Remember the Beatles? Can you all remember the Beatles and the Monkees and the Mop Hairs? And he would come up with your, and he put the ruler right on your eyebrow. And if your hair came past that 1-inch mark, no kidding, he did. That was his rules to go to his school. And guys, remember when we used to wear horseshoe taps on the end of our shoes, particularly those Basswegians we had? Or if you clicked down the hallway, they just took the shoes off of you. You couldn't do that. That didn't help education. They just had rules they wanted. God has given us all we need. And it doesn't make us any smarter to do this self-imposed worship. This false humility, the harsh treatments among each other. Watching the country music special a couple weeks ago, tremendous. Even if you don't like country music, it was really good. What was I talking about? Oh, Jenny C. Riley. You remember Jenny C. Riley?
Yeah.
Harper Valley PTA. Woo, was that a stinger? It was a lesson learned as well, wasn't it? That every time you point one finger, three fingers point back at you. And sometimes we just want to ridicule other people because we know we're insufficient. I got it, Bob. I can bend over that far. You can't get back up, but I can bend over that far. Getting back up is a tough thing. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. First problem is we need to take care of what's the right thing to do and know when to stop. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You see, they got Jesus into their life. And raised up from the dead with Jesus Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We can go all with the original revelation. As a matter of fact, it is my goal, live out long enough and you all don't fire me, that when we finish up the gospel, all the way through, well, through Revelation. And we're going to go verse by verse. When you leave here after that period, you'll know about Revelation. You may not agree with me, and you may not like what it says, and it may just scare the jewillies out of you, or whatever that word is, bejeebies. But you'll know what God wants you to know. He said, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts above things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we know that. He's our interpreter. He's our defender at the judgment day. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Have you ever been real excited about something and you're going to have a party? You know, you're going to have a big old graduation maybe, or a birthday party or something like that. And by the time, and ladies, I hate to say it, but it's really you. By the time you get ready for the party, you are too tired to enjoy it. Our minds on everything else but the celebration. It should not be that way around Jesus. We should have our mind on Jesus and serving God and not be distracted on things that tend to pull us away from the real cause. And when we do that, the devil just wins because he burdens us and he distracts us. And that we do not need. If your mind is set on things above and not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. These people are all alive. He's writing to them. They can't read and write from the cemetery. But he's talking about baptism, as Colin mentioned a few minutes ago, where we died as an individual person who cares nothing about anyone but ourselves. We died to that. We died in Christ. That's what the baptism symbolizes. And when we're brought back up, we are raised anew with a new life. Yeah, the bones are still going to hurt, and headaches still hurt, and feelings get hurt. And there's a lot of things that aren't all that fun. But the bottom line, we've got something to look forward to. It's called salvation. It's called heaven. It's called a new life. And that's what Paul is trying to teach them. The old is dead. We should not be trapped by it. We should not be bound by it. I was originally involved in a mixed marriage. One of us was of one political party, and one of us was the other political party. You probably can't guess, and I won't blurt it out, because I don't like. But we were definitely, we could not talk about politics at all. Our first 2 years of dating and the next 42 years of marriage. No, not that bad. But the issue is, we get so involved in things that aren't important, we lose the fun. So involved in what the prize is, we forget what the contest was. These type of things. It's not good. It's not necessary, and it's not real. Most of you are above the age of 30 in here. At least once. You remember after a soccer game when you got 22 little feet running around the ground and kicking and kicking and kicking, and you don't know who won, you don't know who lost, but everybody gets a participation trophy? It ain't that way in life, folks. The participation is being a part of Jesus. And there is a reward. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go therefore to prepare a place for you. And where I go, there you may be also. That's the award that we need. We don't need a ceremony. The ceremony is going to happen on that judgment day, when he wraps his arms around us and welcomes us home. When, verse 4, listen to this one now. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I got to do it. I cannot help this. Acts chapter 1. You've probably heard it before. Still going. Can't find it. My paper's sticking together. It's not for you to know in Acts 1:7. It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this in verse 9, he was taken up from their very eyes with a cloud that hid him from their sight. So he's talking, all of a sudden he's just going up, and he's in the clouds now. Okay? Verse 10, They were looking intently into the sky where he was going, and then suddenly two men dressed in white. What does white stand for? Purity, goodness, the angels. Two men dressed in white beside them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking in the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you've seen him gone, seen him go into heaven. That just gives me cold chills and warm fuzzies at the same time every time I read that. Because that means that God is sending his son, not as a baby, but he's sending his son as the rescuer and the redeemer. And one day he will be back for us. To the dead, he will bring them out of the grave. To the living, he will take them up into the sky. The sea will give up its dead as well. What a grand promise that is. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. We're not just going to shop a mall waiting our turn. We're going to be in a beautiful place built just for us. You ever been in a mansion? Biltmore. You ever been in Biltmore? You're going, you got to be kidding me. And this is 100 years old, and they built this. This is, wow, this is big. It just takes your breath away. I'm telling you, folks. If I'm reading it right, if I'm understanding the words that are in here, God's got a lot more things for us than Biltmore or a luxury hotel or some castle in some island somewhere. He's got us all taken care of. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to you, earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is adultery. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all these things because of these anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. He simply says we were all sinners at one time. But because of the blood of Jesus, we are all forgiven sinners when we accepted him as our Savior. And the things that used to be what everybody else did or which were in our own mind fun or pleased ourselves, all of these things we are to put away because nothing is gained by them. Because what he's offering us is far greater than what the world has offered us. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can turn on any television station, and here's this superstar doing this, and this ball player doing that, and this rich person doing this, and this politician doing this, 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 and this, and more of that. But those are just temporary things. The book says, the good book says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, the devil may have made Flip Wilson do it. And he will try to tempt you to do it. But God will give you the power to resist. And when we do falter in sin, the blood of Christ forgives us. Simon Peter, I think you've probably heard that name before. Mr. Simon Peter, who just hours before he said, no, Jesus, I'll never abandon you. I will die for you. Simon Peter, while the trials were going on, ran away. Then in the darkness of night, he denied Jesus three times. I would consider that a sin. Simon did. There's a lot of other events in our lives. Paul called himself chief among the sinners. I do what I would not wish to do, and I don't do what I wished I could do. But because of salvation, because of the blood of Christ, those are forgiven. Do not pretend to tell me, or tell yourself even worse, that God will not forget you, forgive you. Because in doing that, we limit God. You going to limit God? I don't think so. You're going to tell God he can't do something he said he's going to do? It won't work that way. So what we have to do is say, Lord, I'm depending on your love and forgiveness and your salvation. Help me get there. Work with me. We need to be the happiest people in the world. Now, do not say, well, I can't feel bad if I'm hurt. I can't feel bad if I lose a loved one or a friend. That's not the way it works. Shortest verse in the Bible. Were you taught that when you were about 8 years old? What is it? Jesus wept. He had mourning for what he knew was going to happen to and in Jerusalem itself. And he mourned for that, and he cried for that, because he loved the people. So for us to say, be tough, you know, be strong, you can't cry, you can't mourn, that's not the biblical way. What we're going to do is open up and say, God, you give us the ability to get through what's been put upon us, and we will give you the praise for it. Well, I don't not know the start of the psalm. Will God give you a mountain you can't tunnel through, that one there? But the chorus part is, God specializes in things thought impossible. God does what others cannot do. And when we take that on in our life and realize that God is working through the Christian, God is working through the obedient, then we will be successful. Maybe not in the eyes of the world. I'm sure that you probably have some friends or know of some people who totally make fun because you go to church, because you won't do things that they do, because you will not, quote, let down and have a life that you wish. They're mocking you, and I think because they're jealous. They've been let out and left aside because they chose not to. That's not the way it should be. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Stay away from things that bother you, that destroy the flesh is one thing, but to destroy the spirit in relationship with God is something else. Put that away. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things, anger and rage. Those are things that you can hurt yourself by hurting others. You can be bound out. Anybody ever heard the word stress? Okay. You've been there, huh? I have seen people who get so stressed, their face breaks out red. Their stomach hurts. They have pains all over. It's something self-induced, the anger or the rage that they have or the anticipation of something bad happening. We don't need that. God, get me through the night. Was it Christofferson that said that, I do believe? Rid yourself of these things. Anybody ever been angry? I don't want to show hands. Anybody had rage? Anybody had malice? You slandered someone? You spoke filthy language? Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices. And you put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of Christ. I do not want you to walk around like this all the time. It really looks silly. And you pray to God, of course. But you have to act like you're Holy Joe or you're pious? Absolutely not. You live that way. You don't have to put on the costume that they're trying to sell you at Walmart or Kmart or some type of a store. We don't have to be that way. We just have to be allowing God to work through us. You're built. Put on the new self, which is renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Take that in your heart. Do not limit what God will do with you. We are bad about that. Christians are bad about that. Well, God doesn't have time for my headaches or my problems or my prayers. It's what God is. He cares about your headaches or your problems and your prayers. He goes on a little bit farther now in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put love, put on love, which binds us together in perfect unity. It's doable if we desire it to happen. He will not force us to happen. God's not going to make you love someone or hate someone. It is our choice. And this part of the scriptures ends up this way. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Have you ever just felt at ease with something, at peace with something? You made your decision. You go ahead and do it. Things have been bothering you. You think you've got it settled. Let that happen in your life. Because grieving will hurt you. Anger will hurt you. Hatred will hurt you. Envy will hurt you, usually more than the other person. We go on. Be thankful. Well, how are you about that? Be thankful. Not just in the last Thursday or the fourth Thursday of November. We should be thankful all the time. Because I guarantee you, we've been more blessed than we deserve. But do we recognize that? Usually not. We're upset about what we don't have. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. VBS song. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. You ever heard that before? Most of you have. Once we realize the debt is paid, we should be happy about it. And whatever you do, whether in the word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's amazing what can be done when you don't care who gets the credit. This is a volunteer church mostly. The cleaning and the maintenance work and the yard, all that's volunteer work. And nobody has to say, I did this or I did that. We don't put your name up on a plaque on the wall. God's got your name figured out already. Let's just praise God in what we do. Let's be thankful to Christ in where we go. And let's not let the world tell us what's right or wrong. The scriptures have already done it. If you've not achieved that peace, if you're not comfortable in relationship with God, search it out. See what you've missed. See what you're still missing. If you know what it is because you don't have the relationship with Him, we give you the opportunity now to confess His name before man as He will confess our name before the Father. To give our membership, if you don't have a church home, to this church, or if you've not been given your life to Christ through baptism, we'll do that too. Our hymn of invitation, I think I wrote down 408, but it's all to Jesus I surrender. Is that Miss Pam? 404 works for me. I'm not leading the music. 00, stand with me if you sing 404.
I surrender all.
My favorite one.
We'll sing the first verse. And when you surrender, you throw your hands up. So if you've got a free hand, you might want to just go ahead and surrender it up to the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live.